May the words of my lips and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our Hebrew readings today commends to us the Christian practice of empathy. I remember an early experience of empathy from childhood, from elementary school. A classmate got up in front of class to share some sort of project, and they froze. Totally froze. Mouth open, eyes bulging, deer in the headlights, they froze. And I remember my brain just screaming out, "Do something! Say something!" And my heart started racing, and I started to feel hot and panicky, and as my classmate's face grew redder and redder, I felt that feeling of embarrassment rise up inside of me, too. As the teacher awkwardly ushered this classmate back to their seat, I felt like it had been me up there, deer in the headlights, frozen, embarrassed, unable to speak. And I don't think I was the only one in class who felt that way. Children are often empathetic creatures. Empathy is different from sympathy. Sympathy is to feel for someone. Empathy, though, is to feel with someone. It's kind of like the difference between I can imagine how you feel and I know how you feel. Sympathy might be feeling bad for someone who has experienced great pain or great tragedy, but empathy is feeling the weight of that great pain or great tragedy on yourself. Sympathy isn't a bad thing. It's a perfectly appropriate way to relate to other people, and sometimes it might be the only way we can relate. But what's commended to us in our reading from the book of Hebrews today is a deep and genuine sort of empathy. Verses 3 and 4 give us examples of the kinds of empathy that we might seek to cultivate within ourselves as the people of God. Remember those who are in prison, not remember those who are in prison so you can send them a nice gift at Christmas time, not remember those who are in prison so you can send them a little note of encouragement, not remember those who are in prison so you can help them when they get out of prison. No, remember those who are in prison as if you were in prison with them. That's different. Remember those who are being tortured as if you were being tortured. Hold all marriages in honor, the reading says. Not just your own marriage, but respect other people's marriages. Help them uphold their vows as if it were your own marriage. That's real empathy, to feel with, to be with, to hold those feelings or that pain or shame and sadness inside yourself as if it was your own. It seems to me that that is a rather painful and difficult way to go about life. To feel not only your own feelings, your own burdens, your own weight, but to feel the burdens, the weight, the feelings of other people too. It's tough to take on someone else's pain in addition to your own pain, because even though we might not have been imprisoned or tortured in our lives, we do all have our own pains and griefs to bear, right? We have our own grief from the loss of our loved ones. We have our own job or financial worries. We have our own shame from the events of our past and our own worries about the future, our health concerns, and a depth of deep loneliness some days. So how can, on top of all of that, we let in the pain of others and the world around us too? How can we possibly let the horrors of our country's immigration system weigh on our hearts as if those children were our own children, watching their childhoods disappear before them? Won't that drag us down if we feel that pain on top of our own? How can we feel grief with our friend who is mourning for their loved one on top of the grief we already feel for our own losses? Won't that added grief just stop us in our tracks? How can we possibly find time or energy to consider the injustice of those who are imprisoned or tortured? When just keeping track of our own lives day to day, hour to hour, minute to minute, it already takes so much energy. If we consider those problems, if they're our own too, won't it just rip up our lives? Won't it just tear out our hearts to care that much? This empathy, it is some heavy stuff. Empathizing with others, loving others that deeply, it's actually not really about us or about the other people. Empathizing with others is actually about our faith in God. When we love and trust God above all else, then other relationships fall into place. That's what that first commandment is about against idolatry. We are to love God, to trust God above all else. Loving and trusting God means we have confidence that God can take care of our needs. Loving and trusting God above all else means we don't have to live in competition with other people and with their needs, whether they're physical, emotional, or spiritual needs. Loving and trusting God above all else means that we don't love money because we know that only God's support will never leave or forsake us. Loving and trusting God above all else means we can be content with what we have, and we can welcome immigrants and care for migrant children as if they were our own because we know that the presence of a newcomer can't take away the goodness of God, but can only enrich it. And we can bear our friend's grief as if it were our own grief because we know that God resides with us in our grieving. We can only genuinely empathize with others when we trust God. That's why Jesus' instructions in the gospel reading today are more than just like a Miss Manners letter. They're more than just like recommendations about maneuvering the personal politics of a situation. Jesus' instructions in the gospel reading from Luke today are actually about creating a whole new world order, a whole new economy, a whole new society that operates differently. It's one where we aren't always looking out for our own best interest or even the best interest of our families, relatives, friends, neighbors. It's one where we choose the way of humility and of empathy because in doing so, we might exalt someone else. It's one where we choose the way of humility and empathy because that's what Jesus did. The incarnation of God in a human being, the incarnation of God, the presence of God in the person of Jesus, that is the ultimate act of empathy. God chooses to be humble and to enter into our humanity, to enter into our human experience with us, so that God might truly feel with us, be with us, live with us, and die with us. And Jesus is only able to accomplish that because Jesus trusts in God, his Father. He trusts his Father to take care of him, no matter what evil or darkness he might face, even if it's death itself, gruesome torture and death on a cross. Sure, living a life filled with empathy, it's not something to take lightly. It is heavy stuff. But Jesus teaches us what it means to trust in God. Jesus makes us strong. We can lift the heavy stuff, my friends. We can cry out, "The Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me?" When as the people of God together, we learn to trust God above all else, we become a part of God's recreation of that whole world order. And perhaps the most amazing part of the recreation of everything that we know is that it can start with something so plain and so simple as an act of empathy. As blushing along with the kid in class who freezes like a deer in the headlights. as knowing the sense of injustice that someone who is imprisoned or tortured feels, as feeling the hurt of a child who is separated from their parents, and of knowing that we ourselves are known just as totally and completely and fully by God. It's a lot weightier way to live than just walking about the world focusing on our own needs. But thanks to Jesus, we are able to lift that extra load. Thanks be to God. Amen.